affiliates. Head on with Bob Kincaid in 1 minute. Mark. Affiliates, head on with Bob Kincaid in 30 seconds. Mark.
Now, Head On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights, they're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it, so call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Hey, good evening. Coming up on 7 minutes after 7 o'clock, at least around hereabouts it is. God only knows what time it is where you are, when you are. I'm Bob. This is Head On. It's your nightly confrontation with the facts. You know, you know what we're all about here. A lot of fun had last night. Great discussion and some interesting topicality. And I think we're going to have an opportunity tonight, because the suggestion was made that when I'm harsh on the other side, that I am stooping to their levels. I don't see it that way. And I'm going to show you what the other side will in fact stoop to. Now, last night we had a soundbite from the Falafel Boy O'Reilly, who said, in fact, that people who want an end to the war are A, pinheads, and just there's some sort of Hitler enablers. Whoa. You know, Bill O'Reilly, filthy sex pervert. Not that, well, never mind. And he who, of course, is out there waging, we discussed this, too, a couple of nights ago, the war on the war on the war on Christmas. And yet it turns out, interestingly enough, that the Fox website gift store is selling Christmas, they're Christmas balls now. But until a couple of, within the last day or so, they had been holiday ornaments. Christmas-hating right in the very heart of O'Reillyville. God, these people are foolish. But so we had that last night. Tonight, I've got a little something from our buddy the oxymoron, Flush Flamball. And every time that I think this man has gotten as sick as any one human being could possibly be, he one-ups us. Nope, he can still get sicker. Now, you recall, I'm sure, the absolute foo-fraw raised by the right wing over the tragedies of the kidnappings in Iraq and the beheadings and all the... Ugh. You recall that? Well, apparently, it's once again a matter of a double standard for Flush. If the people who are kidnapped don't happen to adhere to his destroy every living thing on the planet worldwide hate campaign, then whatever happens to them, it's okay. So we will go into that here in a little bit. And you remember we talked a little bit about Dear Leader's speechifying yesterday at the Naval Academy. And 9/11. You're okay. Enemies. Well, at the toward the end of that speech, there was reference made by him, of course, to a Marine who had recently died in Iraq. And that he would even mention that individual was sickening enough, considering what a disgusting coward he is. But once again, because they are what they are, they'll just lie. Now, Dear Leader read an excerpt from a letter that was found on this Marine's laptop computer after he'd been killed. And I have that soundbite for you right now of Dear Leader reading from the letter. I want you to hear it. This is one of those...
One of those fallen heroes is a Marine corporal named Jeff Starr, who was killed fighting the terrorists in Ramadi earlier this year. After he died, a letter was found on his laptop computer. Here's what he wrote. He said, "If you're reading this, then I've died in Iraq. I don't regret going. Everybody dies, but few get to do it for something as important as freedom."
Okay, you got that? What I was going to say, this is one of those critical listening skills they taught you about in elementary school. So you heard him read all that. Well, he didn't read the letter as it was written. The Bush administration had to edit it. Because the truth to these people is like sunshine to a vampire. Just... and they wither up and dust. So they couldn't be truthful about this. They had to edit. They had to edit a dead Marine's last words. If that's not enough to make dinner rumble around and think about coming up, I don't know what is. Now, what he... Okay, so I'm hoping you heard this. We'll go back and forth. We'll compare. Here's the actual text of the letter. Quote, "Obviously, if you are reading this, then I have died in Iraq. I kind of predicted this. That is why I'm writing this in November. A third time just seemed like I'm pushing my chances." And then they picked up with the text. "I don't regret going. Everybody dies, but few get to do it for something as important as freedom. It may seem confusing why we're in Iraq. It's not to me. I'm here helping these people, blah, blah, blah." The critical part they left out, because they hate the truth. And because they're crooks and criminals and slime, they feel that they have to hide their dirty deeds from the American people to the extent that they can't even tell the truth about the last words of a Marine. "I kind of predicted this. That is why I'm writing this in November. A third time just seemed like I'm pushing my chances. A third time. A third tour through Iraq for nothing. Absolutely nothing. A life thrown away. And George Bush can't even honor this Marine enough to give the honest words that he wrote when he read it in front of the midshipmen." But then again, it was before the, brigade of, is it the brigade? Not the, it's not a corps, it's the brigade of midshipmen. It was before these soon-to-be naval and marine officers. And you don't want to read to them from a marine writing things like, I kind of predicted this, that's why I'm writing this in November. A third time just seemed like I'm pushing my chances. The young man knew he was going into a meat grinder of George Bush's making. And George didn't quite have the stomach. Old yellow chicken George didn't quite have the guts and the gumption to stand up in front of future officers of the United States Navy and Marine Corps and just be honest. Oh, God. Where is the end of it? I don't know. We'll take a break, though, and we'll come back, and then we'll maybe get after Flush. What do you say? This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Once upon a time, in a small cottage, lived a boy named Chuck. One day, Chuck heard a knock from inside the wall.
Who is it?
He cried, for Chuck cried rather easily.
It is I, the energy hog, over here,
said a voice. Now, an energy hog is what you have when people waste energy. Chuck ran to tell his family.
There's a hog in our house!
Exclaimed Chuck.
That's no way to talk about your Aunt Melba,
said his mother, and sent him to his room.
That does it,
said Chuck. He raced to his computer and logged on to energyhog.org.
I'll just have to get rid of it myself.
At energyhog.org, Chuck played cool games and learned to use energy wisely. He learned that by switching to better light bulbs, he had the power to rid the cottage of the evil energy hog forever.
I'm leaving, but I shall return,
vowed the hog.
Don't count on it, bacon breath,
vowed Chuck. And the moral of the story is, to use energy wisely, log on to energyhog.org, or a switch in time, save swine.
This public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
November is National Lung Cancer Awareness Month. Lung cancer is the nation's leading cause of cancer death, killing more than breast, prostate, colon, and skin cancer combined. Early detection of lung cancer, when it's most treatable, is key to survival. New screening methods such as CAT scans are being used in clinical trials. Learn your risk and the symptoms of lung cancer. Smoking is the major risk, but you can develop lung cancer even if you don't smoke. Coughing, wheezing, and fatigue are just a few of the symptoms that are often confused with less serious conditions. Treatment may include surgery, radiation treatments, chemotherapy, or one of several interventional radiology procedures. Discuss treatment options with your doctor. For more information on lung cancer risk, symptoms, detection, and treatment, visit www.radiologyinfo.org. That's radiologyinfo.org. This health reminder from the Radiological Society of North America.
Tornadoes have been reported in several neighboring states.
Small business owner Jonathan Harlan of Jackson, Tennessee.
Living in Tornado Alley, you kind of get used to dealing with them. You just pray one doesn't hit your area. Late Sunday night, just before midnight, an F4 twister touched down in Jackson, leveling our downtown. There was nothing left of our building, just piles of bricks and concrete. We lost everything. Fortunately, backup systems were in place. Employees knew what to do and worked from other locations. Because we were prepared, our clients never knew the difference.
Whether it's a natural disaster or terrorist attack, every business needs an emergency plan. A plan can save lives, company assets, and your entire business at little or no cost to your company. You can't control what happens, but you can be prepared. Visit www.ready.gov today. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Homeland Security and the Ad Council.
All right, 19 minutes past the hour, a reminder of the phone numbers, 877-4, the number 4, Head On. That's 877-443-2366, the alternative number 304-658-3333, email's easy, bob@headonradio.com. Now, Dear Leader shamelessly edited out the gritty, real truth of that fallen Marine's commentary. But it wasn't all he did. You know, sometimes it takes a day to sort out the filth and the garbage and the lies that spews forth from this man's mouth like maggots crawling out of a corpse. And that was the case with this latest diatribe. In the heart of the speech, Dear Leader made reference to a battle at Tal Afar. Tal Afar. And in that reference, he said, "This is so much different than how it was in Fallujah when the Iraqi forces followed our forces in and did the mop-up work." Or something to that effect. In Tal Afar, Iraqi forces led the attack on their own and were supported by our troops. Thanks for playing, George. Here's your lovely parting gift. Because that wasn't how it was. Anderson Cooper 360 on CNN, had a reporter by the name of Michael Ware, reports for Time Magazine. Michael Ware is embedded with the U.S. troops in Iraq who participated in that Tal Afar battle. Michael Ware observed the Tal Afar battle from beginning to end. Didn't just observe it, went along in it. What did Michael Ware say? He told Anderson Cooper, this is a quote, "I was in that battle from the very beginning to the very end. I was with Iraqi units right there on the front line as they were battling with Al-Qaeda. They, listen up, they were not leading. They were being led by the U.S. Green Beret Special Forces with them. Green Berets who were following an American plan of attack, who were advancing with these Iraqi units as and when they were told to do so by the American battle planners. The Iraqis led nothing." But that's okay. When Dear Leader says it, it becomes the truth. If Dear Leader stands up and says that the sky is pink with green polka dots, then it becomes the truth. If this war is such a success, if this war is so grand and glorious and patriotic and not an abject fraud just like his daddy's adventure in Panama and nasty old Ronnie Reagan's adventure in Grenada, if they're not just frauds like that, then why do we need, why does he need to lie about it? One would think that glorious success would be support enough, but I suppose not, because the Iraqis led nothing. They have 700 troops who are fully ready to go into battle. 700. One battalion. Not thousands. Not 95,000. 700. Kind of makes you sad, doesn't it? Meanwhile, Congressman Murtha said today that troops will begin to come home. Because the military is broken. The army is broken. And that just sort of, for me at least, creates a sick feeling. A sad, grief-stricken feeling. The army is broken. Another Republican president has broken our military. Just as Richard Nixon broke our military in Vietnam, George Bush has come along and broken it in the foul, stinking, infested, bloody sands of the land between the rivers. tragic. For we may well at some point need that military. There may be a legitimate war of defense to fight someday. Not a war that some punk son of privilege decides to start so that he can stay even with his daddy, but a real war of real necessity. Scotty McClellan behind the podium today, reminding reporters, well, this nation is at war. No, it's not. If this nation was at war, as my lovely wife has noted, Congress would have acted upon its constitutional war powers and declared war. Until such time as war is declared, we are not at war. So we have another unwar breaking our military, shattering it like glass on concrete. And how long will it take for us to build it back up again to the point where it can have honor and dignity? Who knows? The generation may not yet be born that will see our military reborn in honor and dignity. And that should be cause for no small amount of alarm. Because our military is and should be defensive in nature, not offensive. Our greatest military successes throughout our history have come when we were defending our way of life. When we were defending our own borders, our own shores. We have not had much glory and precious little less honor when we have started wars around the globe, and there will be none coming from Iraq. That's the lesson of Colonel Ted Westhusing, a man who wrote a dissertation on honor in the military, a PhD-level dissertation on honor in the military. And when he saw the dishonor of George Bush's filthy little Iraq war, just checked out. It's gut-wrenching to think about, isn't it? Let's take a break. You know what this is. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Support our troops. We hear it practically every day. We read it in the papers, in yard signs, on bumper stickers. It's something we all agree on. Whenever and wherever the men and women of our armed forces are called, we send our support with them. It's something we all do. And supporting the USO is how it's done. For more than 60 years, the USO has tirelessly maintained a bridge back home for our soldiers, sailors, airmen, marines, and coast guardsmen around the world who fight to preserve the freedoms we hold so dear. The USO receives no government funding. It employs only private citizens and volunteers and depends entirely on the generosity of the American people to fulfill its mission. Help us support our troops. To find out more about the USO and how you can help, call us at 888-USO-5566 or visit our website at USO.org.
Hey, how you doing? Got a quick question.
Yeah?
Who was Rudolf Nureyev?
Rudy Nureyev.
Rudy.
Okay, I know this one.
Good.
Wasn't he that... Nureyev?
Nureyev.
Wasn't he a defenseman for the Maple Leafs? Sure about that? Could have been a goalie.
Yeah. Hey, hi. How you doing? Who was Louis Armstrong?
That's easy. He was the first guy on the moon.
Really?
You know, one small step for man.
Sure, one giant leap for Louis. Hey, young lady.
Uh-huh?
Does the name Caravaggio mean anything to you?
Wasn't he the guy that went out with that mob guy's sister until he got whacked?
You know, no.
Are your kids as well-rounded as they could be? Kids who participate in the arts do better in school and in life. To learn more about the value of arts education, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. Because all kids should get to appreciate Nureyev's dance, Armstrong's horn, and Caravaggio's brush. Art. Ask for more. A public service message brought to you by Americans for the Arts and the Ad Council.
Welcome back. Oh, about 26 minutes and change before the hour. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid, and let's run straight to the phones. Jim's waiting. Hey, Jim, you're Head On. Hey, Jim. Jim.
Control.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, thank you. It's amazing how much better it works when you slide the little fader up and turn the volume up.
There you go.
Yeah, see, we have troubles on our end, too.
Pardon me?
I said we have troubles on our end, too.
I understand. Could that be Robert Palmer?
No, that was Don Henley.
I swear he sounded a lot like Robert Palmer.
Yeah, it was it was reminiscent of that style.
God bless him.
Yep.
Anyway, listen, just a few notes and comments. When I said what I said last night, I basically said what I said in the hopes that these people, or some of them, could behave like honorable men and treat me as I would treat them as an honorable man with good intentions.
Certainly. And you would be surprised at the amount of email I've had over that conversation. It was a very nice chat.
Really?
Yeah.
You know, as far as the thing with the military is concerned, and let me share something with you, if I may, please.
Go ahead.
You know, the military, the higher brass, the higher ups in the Pentagon, the military is a corporation just like any other, okay?
Sure.
And, of course, they use these wars, and they encourage these wars because they are ticket punches for fast track to promotion.
Well, yeah, and it's kind of what they do.
And it's basically, it keeps, you know, and it's what they do, and, you know, they are encouraged to get out there and to, you know, to practice their skills and to hone their skills and things like that. And they view these expeditions into danger as opportunities in which they can excel. And, you know, unfortunately,
well, it's like a football team practices all through August, and pretty soon they get sick of hitting each other and they want to hit somebody else.
Well, unfortunately, the football people are able to leave the stadium, and in this case, a number of innocent non-combatants are not, and that's really what causes me grievous concern. And as far as the war in Southeast Asia is concerned, now, I'm going to say this in defense of Richard Nixon. You probably want to slap me, which is okay. Richard Nixon was paranoid as he could possibly be. The guy had some real serious problems. But he did finally get us out of there by hook or crook.
Yeah.
And also, he really did not start that war in Vietnam.
No, he didn't. He didn't start it, but it's the dirty stuff he did as soon as he got his hands on it that...
Well, I know the mining of Haiphong and stuff like that.
Laos, Cambodia.
Right. And but in his defense, I will say that Nixon did establish the NEA, the National Endowment for the Arts,
yeah,
and also the EPA.
The EPA is, yeah, he signed it into law.
You know, he really could have started off in, well, you know, even Caligula in ancient Rome started off with a real good start.
No, he was beloved among the people.
And we saw how he ended up within 4 short years. And, you know, it's almost like Richard Nixon took the same path. But, you know, that war was LBJ in Vietnam. Now, the military got him cranked up into that thing.
Mm-hmm.
And they wanted him to get in there, and they were, you know, upset because of what had happened in Laos and places like that. And they espoused that domino theory. And then you had Colt Firearms and Dow Chemical and so many other, and Pepsi Cola.
Kellogg, Brown, and Root.
You got it. And they were over there and making just money heads over fists. And Johnson fell for it. I mean, he was a man with good intentions, in my opinion.
Well, there's some discussion, is there not, Jim, of the fact that Kennedy was looking at trying to find a way out at the time he was assassinated.
At the time of John Kennedy's assassination, we had 16,280 men there, and they were there as, quote, advisors, but they were in the field, you know, with load-bearing equipment, and they were fully armed, and they were trying to help the South Vietnamese Army fight against the regime, which was really worse than the one that they were fighting against, in my opinion, but, you know, with the South Vietnamese. But it was just a very unfortunate part in our history. One of which we can be especially proud of the men and women who served valiantly there, but the way that they had to serve and the conditions under which they had to serve, because it was real bad. I lost 10 classmates to the Citadel in that war, and it has forever scarred me, I can assure you.
I have no doubt of it. And the thing is, the warriors on the front lines will, by and large, attempt to serve honorably. But the rear echelon is usually up to its knuckles in filth.
Well, what really grabs me are these people who have never been around a M16, and who don't speak M16. I speak M16 as well as a couple other languages. But you see, they're the ones who really want people to get in there and do all this stuff. But they want to get in there and get their hands dirty. And that really just be a case of the run, so to speak. It really does.
Yeah, it could be expected to do. And, you know, whether it's George Bush or five deferment Dick or any number of these other chicken hawks, there is a value in having heard a shot fired in anger before one commits troops.
I mean, that's the reason. You know, I won't have a gun in my house now. I've been around guns all my life. And to tell you the truth, even when firecrackers start going off, I just leave. You know, it brings back too much.
Yeah, I can.
But anyway, what I'm trying to say is these people don't know the value of getting in there and getting their hands dirty and bloody. And, you know, that's these people like, and I'll call the spade a spade. And I have invited him to be honorable men. I've invited Jeff to be an honorable man and put his money where his mouth is, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't heard anything about him going down to sign up. He's still young enough to do it.
Well, you know, Barbie Bush hasn't joined up in what her daddy calls a noble cause. Neither is Jenna. And let's be honest here.
It's going to be a rich man's war and a poor man's fight. There's no question about that. It always is in many cases.
Almost always, but the war profiteering just really, really does turn my stomach upside down.
Well, of course it does, and that's a horrible thing. And when you look at men like John Kennedy, I mean, John Kennedy was a physical wreck. It took his dad's influence not to get him out of it, but to get him an internship in the Navy, and he went as a Solomon and served with distinction.
And
you look at other, Al Gore. I mean, he went to Vietnam.
Yeah.
He was a buck sergeant over there. His daddy could have gotten him out of it. But he went over there, and part of the time he was in the rear with the gear. And then part of the time he was in the grass up to his AWS.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Sure.
I mean, in spite of his lack of appeal or whatever, this man didn't do what, who was Bush 41's vice president, Quayle.
Yeah.
I mean, he didn't pull this sergeant thing in the Guard, which was honorable service, but nonetheless, I mean, Gore went on over to Vietnam, went on over there. John Kerry did. I mean, you know. And I'm not trying to idolize these men in beyond what they are in life. I'm not.
No, but they did what they did, and they have a right to have that acknowledged.
Precisely.
And they have a right not to be slimed over it. I haven't heard any reaction from the father of this young Marine whose letter George quoted yesterday in his
now,
speech.
You said that was basically in vetting it. They excerpted it.
Yeah, they took out the unpleasant part.
You mean they didn't give the whole?
No, he stood up there and read from the letter as though he were reading it verbatim. He didn't say here are excerpts. He said he wrote a letter and here's what he said. And he left out the line, I kind of predicted this. That is why I'm writing this in November. A third time just seemed like I'm pushing my chances. The kid knew he was on. He knew what was coming
people
for him.
Know. You can have that instinctive feeling.
And but am I out of line for being just a little bit disgusted by the fact?
No, you're not. I just hope that there's some bit of decency and honor left in some of these people, so we can call them one day comrades and fellow patriots. And as far as the rest of them are concerned, like this horrible man in California, this Cunningham, I mean, these people will have their just reward. Just he's getting his. And just as these people who have used the church and our Lord and Savior for their purposes, one day they will wish they had never been born. I can assure you of that, because that's something he won't tolerate, and I'm sure he knows about it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do. There are times, Jim, when I grow frustrated with the fact that we can't see justice done.
Well, sometimes justice is not done in our lifetime, and you know, it's like Moses. He never got to cross the river to see the promised land. And sometimes just the way it works out. I don't know why. And I just, Bob, as far as religion is concerned, and I don't want to get off on that, but I want to explain something about my feelings, okay?
Sure, go ahead.
The act of faith is a leap into the unknown, okay? That's what it is.
Yeah.
And
it's not an intellectual pursuit.
No. And you have to have that, at least by you. I mean, I have to have it. Because it's the only thing that sometimes makes life worth living.
Well, there are millions who share your views. And again, you know, my condemnations, and it's not a blanket condemnation. My condemnations are for those people who, in my humble opinion, would gladly, gleefully, joyfully drive the nails in Christ's hands all over again. Because they have transformed him from the Prince of Peace to to a God of War.
The fact is that they have, and you know, you had lots of. I mean, that's been done throughout history. My God, so many people have been killed in the name of Christ. And within the Crusades, and then
we can't change history, but we can change. It's a discussion I've had with my kids. You cannot change the past, but we can darned well try to change the present and thereby change the future.
Well, I think that perhaps there could be some divine intervention on the way, because I think that a lot of these people who have been getting away with some of the miscarriages of justice and using the faith of other people to their own advantage in a negative way, they're going to pay the price for that. And I think you may live to see that. I might not, but I think you, and I know your children will, because this will endure just for a season, and it will be cut down and burned in an unquenchable fire.
I hope you're right. If I can help throw one of the matches, I'll be very happy.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. I don't think the good Lord needs much help. He's pretty much an able fellow, and you know, he must wring his hands to see what has happened here on this earth. You know, because I don't think he intended it to be that way. That's just my personal opinion.
And not an unreasonable one.
Because of what happened, I think that he took certain steps and intervened 2,000 years ago.
Well, it's a core element of many people's faith to believe that. And again, it's not an intellectual pursuit, as you agree.
It is a leap into the unknown.
Sure, and absolutely. But the thing is, we must always guard against. And I don't think you want it. I don't think you want. I don't think you want a theocratic state.
No.
The framers were brilliant individuals, and they understood what governments married up with religion could do to the citizenry.
Well, I mean, even Christ Himself, while He was on this earth, God is man incarnate, said, "Render to Caesar what is Caesar's, and unto man what is, and unto God what is God's." And he foresaw the separation of allegiance to the emperor and allegiance to him. Not the emperor as a god, but as a...
Right, but again, you're dealing...
As temporal authority.
You're dealing with...
Encourage lawlessness.
No, but you're dealing with an issue of interpretation there, and that very same piece of scripture, Jim, is frequently used, and there's a story out of Illinois, some Walgreens pharmacists... have been suspended from their jobs because they won't fill prescriptions for a woman's contraceptives, and they use that self same scripture as their justification.
Well, how can they do that? I don't understand. I'm not sure. I mean,
well, it's
I mean, they use just rendering unto Caesar's what is Caesar's and unto God's what is God. It seems like that would be used.
Well, their duty to render unto God trumps their duty to render unto Caesar. I mean,
Bob, I understand what you're saying, and you know, I am not Catholic. I am Protestant, and I do not support I do not support the Catholic Church's position.
These aren't necessarily Catholics.
On birth control, because I believe that it's necessary to have some type of you know, prevention and protection, particularly this day and time. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, especially, exactly. And, but in this instance, it's not necessarily isolated to the Catholic Church, Jim. These are people who are manipulated by the multi-billion-dollar misogyny movement. You know, the anti-abortion crowd, and they frame issues and they coin phrases, and now these pharmacists won't fill prescriptions because they say that they cause, and this is their phrase, this is their frame, their meme, they say that they cause silent abortions.
I wish that there could be a, you know, I just wish that Roncalli, Cardinal Roncalli, was around Pope John the 23rd.
Mm-hmm.
And we can have Vatican III. And perhaps, you know, the church could lead and do, and really get down to.
Well, there's some real psychosis going on there, Jim, because on the other, I was kind of proud of them. They came out, the church came out a couple of weeks ago and said that intelligent design was a boatload of poppycock. And yet at the same time, they support these people who. Well, what we were talking about.
Intelligent design meaning?
Well, this veiled creationism that Kansas and Pennsylvania were so absolutely beside themselves to institute, you know, a way of attacking biology, a way of slithering religious mythology into the biology classroom and thereby defeating science.
I see what you're saying. I understand. I'm sorry.
Yeah, intelligent design is creationism with a new christening.
Well, you know, as far as I'm concerned, my only opinion of that is a day with God can be a thousand or a million years with man. And I do believe that there was some primordial force.
Well, Aristotle's prime mover.
That's the basis of deism, the clock and the clockmaker.
Yeah,
and I do believe that, you know, all of this in this earth didn't just happen.
Right, but the thing is,
there is a spark of divinity to it.
From my standpoint, Jim, debate that, discuss it, study it all day long in religion class, in sociology class, but for God's sakes, don't use it as a cover for honest, natural law based, and by natural law, you know what I mean.
Yeah,
biology, you know.
We're talking about evolution and the origin of the species and things of that nature.
Sure. And in the church's little bulletin a couple of weeks ago, they said there is, the Catholic Church at least, declared that there is no dichotomy between the idea of evolution and the idea of a created universe.
You mean the Vatican accepted basically Darwinian principles?
Sure. Absolutely. It was a rather much ballyhooed statement by, among others, the chief astronomer for the Vatican Observatory.
I didn't know that. That's very interesting, because they're usually very conservative about stuff like that.
Yeah, but well, you know, they urge the faithful to guard against things like intelligent design.
Well, I hope that they will continue to move in a direction, because they are one of the larger denominations in the world, and I hope that they will convene a Vatican III. And I hope that perhaps they can arrive at some logical conclusions about contraception and things of that nature.
Well, they can't.
At least from the standpoint of just in Africa, for example, for the prevention of disease. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. And that's one of the things that's so frustrating. They come out with something that's fairly enlightened, like what we've been discussing, and yet they have finally released a finalized version of their views on gay people in the clergy.
Well, now I understand what he said with that was that those who were overtly homosexual, they would have to go and they could not become priests. He would not pursue the ones already on board. Is that correct?
Well, they've said that...
this is what Benedict XVI
said.
They
have said that there can be ordination for gay priests who have been 3 years without, and I forget what exactly the phrase was, but 3 years without feeling the urge to act on their homosexuality. But it's veiled bigotry, Jim, because there was no similar statement saying that a priest could only be admitted to the priesthood if he had gotten over his heterosexual urges. I mean, it's a celibate priesthood, for heaven's sake.
Well, you know, at one time it wasn't celibate, and priests were allowed to marry.
Absolutely.
I'm sure. What was it? The Council of Trent? Was it because it was at that?
I'm not sure if it was or not. I mean,
I don't know if it was part of the Counter-Reformation.
The Great Schism was what, 1100?
Yeah, that's when they had three popes in the Babylonian captivity. But let me think. And that's one thing about this program. At least you can discuss things without somebody shouting at you and cutting you off.
Right? We try really hard in that regard.
I really appreciate it. I wanted to tell you that. If I'd been on somebody else's show, they would have said, get off, and I want to talk.
No, I don't think they'd even say that. They just push the button and you're gone.
Right. I think it may have been part of, I don't know if it was part of the Counter-Reformation or not, but anyway, the movement was, it was a council called in Germany, and they said that priests, because priests were not really behaving themselves, they said that a priest should not have a family to encumber his devotion to his flock, and therefore had to be celibate and could not be married. But at one time they were.
Well, who was the Catholic cardinal that was advisor to Henry VIII?
The Catholic, that was Cardinal Wolsey.
Yeah, Wolsey. He had a family.
Oh, yeah. Well, he was a butcher's son and certainly looked it. And, you know, he was a very proud man. And he was, of course, extremely helpful with Henry. But unfortunately, because he could not procure that divorce from the Vatican, Wolsey fell. And basically was very lucky to die with his head attached to his body.
Yeah.
I mean, look at what happened to Sir Thomas More.
So, you know, what we have here is a fundamental unwillingness on the part of the church to deal with, well, from my standpoint, reality. You know, the pedophilia plague. I mean, you can't call it anything less than a plague, Jim.
Well, that's not that is totally unacceptable.
Yeah, and but the Catholic Church is still all wrapped up in the idea that it's gay people causing it. Pedophilia is not a gay or homosexual act. Pedophilia is an aggressive, violent act by an aggressive, violent person. And
exactly.
Sexuality is absent from the should be absent from the analysis. If you're willing to do children, the church is engaging in scapegoating of homosexuals. Because homosexuals, by and large, and by the statistical studies, are not the pool from which pederasts and pedophiles arise.
Exactly. Well, I am certain that among Catholic universities, and some of the finest schools of learning in the world, that you have psychologists and people who belong to the Jesuits and other, you know, teaching orders that are going to perhaps promote that idea. I hear your music.
Yeah, we got to hit it.
Enjoy the conversation.
Take care, Jim.
Thank you.
Have a good evening.
You too.
Bye now. Wonderful conversation. It's a cool thing about doing liberal radio. You get to talk to smart people. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. To have any doubts, to free the world from tyranny, is what this is about. And they say it's gonna take some time. Every day there's one less of you in line.
You are the sun. Hello, may I help you?
Hello, can I ask you a few questions about the apartment you have on Park Street?
What was your name?
My name is Juan Hernandez.
It's been rented.
Oh, it's gone?
Hello?
Hello, my name is Sanjay Kumar. I am calling about the apartment on Park Street.
It's not available.
It's not available, but I just now saw it in the paper.
May I help you?
Hi, my name is Tyrone Washington. I'm calling about a place to rent on Park Street.
No longer available.
It's not available now.
Nope, sorry.
Oh, okay.
Hello?
Yes, hello. My name is Graham Wellington. I'm calling about the apartment for rent on Park Street. Is that still available?
Yes, it is.
Oh, it is?
Yes.
Oh, really? I'd love to make an appointment.
Housing discrimination is illegal. If you think you've been a victim because of your race, color, national origin, sex, religion, disability, or family status, call 800-669-9777 or visit fairhousinglaw.org. Fair housing, it's not an option, it's the law. Brought to you by HUD, the Ad Council, and LCCREF.
Hi, I'm Joanne Woodward. Ever notice how many things in life happen in a circle? The seasons, revolving credit, hula hoops, the spinning of the circle we call Earth, and recycling. Together, we've already made a difference. Sorting glass, plastic, separating cans, stacking newspapers. Now there are lots of products made from things we've already recycled. A paperclip, in a more daring life, a 56 convertible, a cereal box, once your Sunday paper. It all goes back to the circle. It starts when we recycle trash at home and at work. It's completed when we buy products made from recycled materials. How do you know the difference? Check the label for something called post-consumer recycled content. Then buy the highest percentage of it you can find. You'll save a tree, you'll save energy, and in your own way, you'll help save the world. Complete the circle.
For your free Buy Recycled shopping guide, call 1-800-2-RECYCLE. A message from the Ad Council and Environmental Defense. Finding the ways that work.
You did. It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
All right, no sense beating around the bush. Let's go straight to the phones. Chris is with us. Hey, Chris, you're head on.
Bob, this is terrible. I know we shouldn't talk about, you know, the ignorance of people, but let's just go ahead and do it anyway.
Well, there's plenty. It's a diverse and wide topic.
Okay, I'm sure you've read the story about the druggist refusing to give prescriptions of birth control.
Yeah. Well, the latest one's in Illinois, but if you're talking about, I got your email about Karen Brower.
Yeah, okay. Now, this is terrible. All right. She gets fired from Kmart for refusing to fill a prescription.
Right.
So then she starts her own organization, Pharmacists for Life International.
Yeah, that's a real gagger.
Yeah, okay. And she has... This quote from her, "I refuse to dispense a drug with a significant mechanism to stop human life." Barr was fired in 1986 after she refused to fill a prescription for birth control. They have, even these people are also refusing to fill prescriptions for people that are victims of rape.
Oh, yeah. Well, look, I mean, we're dealing with these people are monsters who hide, Chris, under the guise of some twisted version of Christianity, because among other things, these so-called right to life monsters also oppose the cervical cancer vaccine.
Yeah, and at the bottom of this article in USA Today today, it says in Wisconsin, a petition drive is underway to revive a proposed law that would protect pharmacists who refuse to prescribe drugs they believe could cause an abortion or be used for assisted suicide. And Matt Sandy of Pro-Life Wisconsin has this to say. It just recognizes that pharmacists should not be forced to choose between their consciences and their livelihoods. They should not be compelled to become parties to abortion. Now, you and I know that taking birth control is not abortion.
No.
We walk outside and see if it's raining. We walk outside, oh, I'm wet, you know, gee, I guess it was raining. Now, nowhere on earth does it say that birth control is abortion.
Well, among other things, that's why I despise people like this Karen Brower, because there are legitimate prescription purposes for birth control beyond birth control itself.
Exactly right.
Women who've had their tubes tied, for God's sakes, are sometimes put on it because of things like endometriosis. But this woman, this filthy, disgusting woman, wants to put her judgment in front of someone who may be suffering, and for that,
a lot of women will take it because their menstrual period has a problem in some way, and they can take birth control, and it will help.
Ovarian cysts.
Yeah, I had an ex-sister-in-law that she had to take it, and she didn't like it, but you know, it made her a lot better off, so she didn't really mind it.
Exactly, and well, you know, this whole premise of I've got it right here in front of me. I refuse to dispense a drug with a significant mechanism to stop human life. Do you suppose if Flush Flembaugh came in with his OxyContin script, she'd give him the same speech? You can OD, and there's a significant possibility that stuff can end human life. A physician, family physician, my regular GP, told me at one point, he said, "You got to remember, Bob, that every medicine that is good is also a poison." A statement like that says that she needs to get out of the pharmacy business and get into the woman-hating business.
Yeah. Four states already have laws or regulations that allow pharmacists to refuse to fill prescriptions.
Yeah, and three of those are where?
Arkansas, Georgia, Mississippi, and South Dakota. And they also have, 11 states have introduced similar bills. And West Virginia is one of them.
Yeah, I know. And it will probably pass here because, again, it will be it's high on the legislative list of West Virginians for life.
Oh my God! Yeah.
And they have.
I forgot about those.
Yeah, and they have the entire legislature in a freaking stranglehold. There's a fine fellow over here in Raleigh County. I like him a lot. He's a great guy. He's been a dedicated public servant. And West Virginians for Life came out and flat out and said, "Sucker, don't run. We'll destroy you, just like we did last time."
Gracious, I don't doubt it a bit.
These people don't want to participate in the body politic. They want to rule us.
That's true. That is very true.
And that's why I have. That's why there is no room for them in my world. I mean, if the earth opened up and swallowed them whole, the world would be a better place for it. The entire pro-life movement just gone.
That ties into what I wrote about last night that I sent you about Duke Cunningham.
Yeah.
I believe this with all my heart. The true anarchists these days are the Republicans. They can do anything they want. They can say anything they want.
And anarchy is where they ultimately want to go. It's not some kid with an A in a circle painted on his freaking skateboard. It's people like George Bush. It's people like Grover Norquist. You're absolutely right, Chris. It's these people who say, "I want to make the federal government so weak that we can drown it in a bathtub."
I'll tell you the perfect example. Skinheads. What do they look like? The skinheads, they have the shave heads. They wear all this combat gear, white t-shirt, jeans, whatever. But who's over the skinheads? What does he look like? He wears a suit and tie.
Sure he does.
The guy that's over the KKK, what does he dress like?
Yeah, that's another Brooks Brothers type.
He wears a suit and a tie. Okay, you know, it is not someone who wears their uniform that you can tell from a mile away, oh, they're goth, they're this, they're that. It is the suit and tie. That, to look conservative, dress conservatively, to look like a quote-unquote straight, normal human being, are the ones we have to watch out for. Because these Republicans go to Congress and the Senate every day, dressed in their suit and tie, and they spew hate like you would not believe.
Oh, yeah. Well,
no, it's not.
Sit down, you socialist.
It is not the dirty little gruff kid, you know, shouting obscenities at a Gap and spray painting the wall.
No.
That has nothing to do with anarchy anymore.
No, like I said, that A in a circle thing, no. The people that want to destroy this government and create a class war, those are the people that pose a real threat to our democratic-based Republican form of government.
I went to Amazon.com last night, and I typed in the word anarchy. And like I wrote here, it has about the Anarchy TV show that's on DVD now. The Anarchist Cookbook, music about anarchy, and there was a sunglasses line called Anarchy. It's a product. It's all a product now.
Absolutely.
But this hatred is centuries old.
Yeah, it has been honed and perfected.
Oh yeah.
To the level of art. We got to hit our break here in a minute. But in the next segment, you're gonna hear some of Flush Flimball's hate at its very, very finest. And
well, on National AIDS Day, World AIDS Day, I just thought it was great that pharmacists are celebrating the fact that they don't have to give out any kind of protection. So, you know, protection, you know, the kind of thing that prevents AIDS.
Yeah, I know. Chris, always great.
I just don't know what to say. But I'm glad I got a place to say it when I come up with some words.
Exactly. You know, and sometimes you got to laugh because, well, you know, crying's too messy.
Absolutely.
All right, later, man. See ya. Okay, a little break, and yeah, we're going to do the flush thing when we come back. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Once upon a time in a small cottage lived a boy named Chuck. One day, Chuck heard a knock from inside the wall.
Who is it? it, he cried, for Chuck cried rather easily.
It is I, the energy hog, over here,
said a voice. Now, an energy hog is what you have when people waste energy. Chuck ran to tell his family.
There's a hog in our house,
exclaimed Chuck.
That's no way to talk about your Aunt Melba,
said his mother, and sent him to his room.
That does it,
said Chuck. He raced to his computer and logged on to energyhog.org.
I'll just have to get rid of it myself.
At energyhog.org, Chuck played cool games and learned to use energy wisely. He learned that by switching to better light bulbs, he had the power to rid the cottage of the evil energy hog forever.
I'm leaving, but I shall return,
vowed the hog.
Don't count on it, bacon breath,
vowed Chuck. And the moral of the story is, to use energy wisely, log on to energyhog.org, or a switch in time, save swine.
This public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
November is National Lung Cancer Awareness Month. Lung cancer is the nation's leading cause of cancer death, killing more than breast, prostate, colon, and skin cancer combined. Early detection of lung cancer when it's most treatable is key to survival. New screening methods such as CAT scans are being used in clinical trials. Learn your risk and the symptoms of lung cancer. Smoking is the major risk, but you can develop lung cancer even if you don't smoke. Coughing, wheezing, and fatigue are just a few of the symptoms that are often confused with less serious conditions. Treatment may include surgery, radiation treatments, chemotherapy, or one of several interventional radiology procedures. Discuss treatment options with your doctor. For more information on lung cancer risk, symptoms, detection, and treatment, visit www.radiologyinfo.org. That's radiologyinfo.org. This health reminder from the Radiological Society of North America.
Tornadoes have been reported in several neighboring states.
Small business owner Jonathan Harlan of Jackson, Tennessee.
Living in Tornado Alley, you kind of get used to dealing with them. You just pray one doesn't hit your area. Late Sunday night, just before midnight, an F4 twister touched down in Jackson, leveling our downtown. There was nothing left of our building, just piles of bricks and concrete. We lost everything. Fortunately, backup systems were in place. Employees knew what to do and worked from other locations. Because we were prepared, our clients never knew the difference.
Whether it's a natural disaster or terrorist attack, every business needs an emergency plan. A plan can save lives, company assets, and your entire business at little or no cost to your company. You can't control what happens, but you can be prepared. Visit www.ready.gov today. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Homeland Security and the Ad Council.
Okay, about 19 minutes passed, and we've got time to at least start working this issue a little bit. You probably heard, it was, you know, all over the news channels in the last day or so, about the latest spate of kidnappings in Iraq. It was four members of the Christian peacemaker teams working in Iraq to try to make things a little less miserable. You know, following that whole Christian tradition of love thy fellow man. And I realize that the warrior Jesus that is invented and promulgated by the right-wing religious hate industry is nothing like this vision of the teachings of Yeshua the brown-skinned Palestinian carpenter. But, like I said, every time I think that Flush Flemball can't sink any lower, why don't you take that bone out of your nose? He does. And it amazes me that there are, and it says a little bit about the nature of the, or the depths to which this country has sunken, that they will tolerate, that people will tolerate him. I've got a list of quotes here from our pal Sue down on Big Coal River. Samuel Johnson said, "No people can be great who have ceased to be virtuous." And there is a cessation of virtue in tolerating the likes of Flush Flimball when he comes out with unmitigated hate and vitriol for people who are trying to assist the victims of the war that his president started. Now, for me to say much, it's far better that we just let you hear. I haven't edited
part
this.
Of me that likes this. And some of you might say, Rush, that's horrible. Peace activists taken hostage. Well, here's why I like it. I like any time a bunch of leftist feel-good hang-wringers are shown reality.
You get that? These people have been taken hostage. They've been kidnapped. The photographs of them were shown. One American, two Canadians, and an Englishman. They're shown in these photos and video footage with, good God, rocket-propelled grenades pointed at their heads. Talk about too much gun. And this filthy junkie, this disgusting lump of something that once might have resembled human flesh, says this. Listen again.
Part of me that likes this.
Part of me likes this.
And some of you might say, Rush, that's horrible. Peace activists taken hostage. Well, here's why I like it. I like any time a bunch of leftist feel-good hang-wringers are shown reality.
Now, of course, he jumped up and down and had absolute fits when those murdering mercenaries had their dead bodies burnt. He had fits. But if people trying to follow the teachings of Jesus for Jesus' sake, literally, if those people are harmed, it's okay with him. That's one of his fellow Americans that was taken hostage. You see, that's why I say that I do not consider people like Flush Flimball to be, to share the commonality of citizenship in this once great nation with me. I will not consider him my fellow American because he despises everything, every single block in the foundation upon which this country was built. Separation of church and state, the ability of people to believe as they wish to believe without having the government ram some sort of cockamamie faith down their throat. Rush Limbaugh hates that.
Sit down, you socialist.
Oh, Agnes is feeling her oats tonight. Everything that is good and decent about this country, the Flimballs and the O'Reillys and the Hannity Jobs despise. We talked to Lydia Cornell a couple of nights ago, you might recall. She had her personal information published on Ann Coulter's webpage as a means of punishment and torment. Well, guess what? Somebody's got Ann Coulter's back on this. You can read this over at bradblog.com. Turns out... Jimmy Jeff Ganniguck, Jeff Gannon,
Tyler News Service,
Jimmy Dale Guckert, you know, the guy who owned that website, Gay Marine for Hire or whatever, hotgaymarine.com, the guy who, the stealth gay prostitute who slithered and slipped his way into the White House press corps with the connivance and contrivance of the likes of Scott McClellan. He came out and he said, Ann Coulter, I've got your back. You did the right thing publishing Lydia Cornell's personal information on your webpage. These people are sick. And it does, you know, it doesn't stop with that one quote. Wait, we got more of Flush Flimball. Check it out.
I mean, these people are liberals. They're warped. What I mean, that's why there's, I'm telling you folks, there's a part of me that likes this.
Really,
probably,
Rush.
Even with this, though,
you know, they're not going to see the light of day.
There's part of me that likes this. Is it the same part of you that likes the whips and the chaps and got yourself busted in Pittsburgh for gay pandering, Rush? Is it? Is it? He wants nothing to... You've got to understand. They seek the destruction of anyone who stands in the way of their attempt to tear down every last thing that is good and right and honorable about America. This, by God, is our country. One nation. Indivisible. That indivisible part is very important. It's a reflection to the day when it's a commentary on the Civil War. That we will not be divided. And yet, for lo, these 20 years, that is all the right has tried to do. One more time.
I mean, these people are liberals. They're warped. Well, I mean, that's why there's. I'm telling you, folks, there's a part of me that likes this. Probably even with this, though, you know, they're not going to see the light of day.
And what is the light of day, Flush Buddy? What's the light of day look like when you're taking so much OxyContin that you go deaf?
What kind of man are you?
Exactly. Let's take a break. This is Head On. I'm Bob DK.
I'm just a kid.
I'm six.
I'm nine.
I'm four and a half.
And I've got asthma.
You know just how upset I can get when I have an asthma attack.
And I know that you want to do all that you can do to help me.
But you might not know
about all the different stuff that can make me have an asthma attack.
Or all the simple things you can do to fight my asthma.
You can fight it with a bear.
You can fight it with a duck.
You can fight it with a wrench.
Put my teddy bear in the freezer to wipe out dust mites.
Dry off rubber duckies and fix leaks to get rid of mold.
Cause mold can start my asthma attacks too.
Discover other simple ways to prevent an asthma attack. Call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS or visit noattacks.org. A public service message brought to you by the U.S. EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
Thanks for doing all you can to help me out.
Because I don't want to feel like a fish with no water.
Roof fall accidents have declined significantly in recent years, but they still continue to claim the lives of too many working miners. Hello, I'm Bob Friend with the Mine Safety and Health Administration. No miner has to die from a roof fall accident. Miners and mine operators can take steps to reduce the likelihood of these tragic accidents in underground mines. Always follow the approved roof control plan for your mining operation. Make required roof examinations before starting work. Look at the roof closely, listen, and sound it out. Install additional roof support when you encounter adverse roof conditions. Always use maximum supervision and oversight when performing retreat mining operations. Never, ever walk or travel under unsupported roof. Make the right decision. Focus more attention on roof control in underground mines. Thank you for listening.
So, which one's yours?
The one at bat.
Strike two.
Oh, that's okay, Chris.
Only my kid could strike out in T-ball.
Oh, run, Chris, go!
Looks like he's having some trouble running.
Oh, he's wandering way off the baseline.
It's like he can't see.
Oh, my gosh, his helmet is too big.
It's as big as a bucket.
You know, I must have gotten him an adult one. What was I thinking?
You're out.
Oh.
When safety equipment doesn't fit, it's game over. That goes for your kids, too. If they're too big for a car seat, that doesn't mean they're the right size for an adult safety belt. If they're under 4'9", they need a booster seat. It raises them up so the safety belt fits properly. and the right fit makes all the difference to their future. To learn more, visit www.boosterseat.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation and the Ad Council.
It's the Cup of Joe Report. I'm Joe Vecchio. For Republicans, being a political party whose primary supporters include racists, misogynists, domestic terrorists, and the religiously insane has both its good points and its bad points. On the one hand, they are avid voters and activists and are apparently willing to buy anything their leaders sell them as long as they believe that that politician is one of them and promises to protect them from whatever enemy they believe is threatening their existence, whether it be communists, blacks, gays, liberals, or terrorists. On the other hand, the problem with having a political base whose principles are, at its core, against everything America theoretically stands for, is that they occasionally demand something so heinous that even the most heavy-handed politicians couldn't support it. The Democrats knew, for example, that they were going to lose a great deal because they decided that the right for a black person to vote was far more important than the political power they would have held onto if they hadn't fought so hard for civil rights. Now the Republicans are worried because the base is starting to complain that their leadership isn't conservative enough. So the Republicans need to walk the fine line of pretending to satisfy these lunatics without actually doing some of the things they want. Will the inmates take over the asylum and turn America into an international pariah? Will the Republicans rid themselves of these vermin like the Democrats did? You know, over the years, I've come to believe that the Republicans see themselves as Republicans first and Americans when it's convenient. I'd like nothing more than for them to prove me wrong. Now, get back to work. This has been the Cup of Joe Report by Joe Vecchio. Listen to the Cup of Joe radio show, available via streaming audio at cupojoe.blogspot.com.
Welcome back. A little less than 27 minutes before the hour. We're halfway through this Thursday night edition, this first day of December edition of Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. The phone numbers bear repeating from time to time. I've been criticized in the past for not giving them out enough. 877, the number 4, Head On. That's 877-443-2366. Alternatively, area code 304-658-3333. Email's easy too, bob@headonradio.com. Or if you have any comments for my lovely wife, Agnes, A-G-N-E-S. You get that, board monkeys? Agnes, A-G-N-E-S. Not Angus, not Angus, Agnes. At headonradio.com. And I mention the boards because if you're looking for a free-for-all, if you're looking for an opportunity to engage in spirited debate of an almost, mind you, almost unmoderated nature, Agnes only jumps in and gives spankings when it gets particularly egregious, go on over, headonradio.com, click on message boards. And it's all there for you. It's free. It's easy. It's very, very simple. Jump in and just have the time of your life. I mean, we have real, live, honest-to-God, hardcore, Bush-loving conservatives there for your observation. So get into the marketplace of ideas. Or, I don't know, the way that thing goes most of the time, get into the bar fight of ideas and have a blast. I wander by from time to time. Agnes wanders in. And there's a lot of fun stuff going on, so take advantage of it. It's there for you. It's not my personal time killer, but it's there for the folks who listen to this show. It's the least I can do. It's a little bit of a thank you. Now, we were talking about Flush Flimball. We were talking about I wonder... You know, this guy is part of, he holds himself out as part of the holier-than-thou religious rite. No. Do the people who the religion industry people, can we take their silence in regard to his commentary as their acceptance of his comments or their agreement with his comments? Is that what it is? Is it further proof of the moral, intellectual, and ethical death of the religion industry in this country? To say, part of me likes it about the kidnapping of a fellow American. Part of me likes it. Part of me likes it. How low do you have to go? You know, and this is not, I mean, the decent people who listen to this show, the moral people, the upstanding people, the Democrats, the liberals, progressives, no, we don't agree with that. We find that repugnant. But answers are due and owing from the right wing that thinks that this monster is the neatest thing since sliced bread. Jethro is with us on the phones. Hey, Jethro, you're head on. Good to hear from you, man.
Yes, Bob. Sorry I haven't called more. I've just been having some tech trouble.
Oh, that's quite all right. I understand. We have that all the time.
Yeah, Flush. He's talking about last throws.
Well, you know, $25 million a year, who can complain?
And he's got to be one of these paid broadcasters, too. Like, I don't know. I can't even think of who it is now, but... he's got to be on the payroll, too.
Oh, sure he is. That's, you know, he's funded through people like the Heritage Foundation and the American Enterprise Institute. The, you know, their money finds its way into his pockets. That's the only way that he could be making the kind of money he's making, simply because you can't make $25 million a year hawking patent baldness and erectile dysfunction herbal remedies and Swedish mattresses.
Well, he's got to make that much to supply his Oxy habit there.
Yeah, exactly.
Otherwise, he'd be robbing and stealing it.
Well, yeah, he's got a hell of an overhead, because I'm convinced he's back on the junk, or never got off it.
I think he was on it for a while, but you could tell. I've heard him slurring a few times, and you know, basically hopped up, just ranting and raving. It's the same old Rush.
Well,
I believe you're right. Back on the stuff.
And loving every minute of it. Just got himself a new maid to go and score, make his street drug scores for him.
Yeah, just got him. He's probably got him some kind of a out of country source or something now. So,
well, you know, the legal case isn't over with yet. They're still after him. And I do, you know, like talking to Jim earlier. I have real hopes that eventually we will see the wheels of justice turn, and when they turn, they will grind his bones to dust.
Well. That would be nice. I'd like, yeah.
Devoutly to be wished, huh?
Yeah, I mean, I'd hate it for him, but he'd be getting what he asked for. I mean, he wants these other, you know, he always talks about these black hopheads, and they need to be in jail and stuff, so.
Right.
Yeah, maybe he needs to go. But, yeah, what I was wondering is this Representative Murtha.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what the theory is on?
No. What is it?
Well, that's... you know, he's a ardent military supporter. He's involved, I think, on the Armed Forces Appropriation Committee. Or
yeah,
something like that.
Yeah, he's the ranking member on the Democratic side.
Anyway, he is, and he's a 37-year-old, you know, officer, Marine Corps veteran.
Yeah, Korean War and Vietnam.
So, and he's on this defense thing, and he is deeply entwined in the military community.
Sure.
So anyway, the rumor is that the generals and stuff are coming to him with their complaints because they're afraid to criticize openly
Caligula,
or they're going down the road.
Right. Well, and you know, a word to the wise is sufficient. And those guys didn't get to be top brass by doing stupid things. They saw what happened to Eric Shinseki when he said that the plan for going into Iraq was not sufficient.
Right. So I think we're going to be hearing more from Representative Murtha as things go on. I think it's going to be a weekly thing. And this, you know, thing today that the Army was worn down and broken and basically living from hand to mouth.
That's pretty strong medicine coming from a guy who thinks that the Pentagon's the coolest place on Earth.
So somebody's giving him the inside scoop. And he's saying that all of our equipment's shot. It's going to take $50 billion to replace it. And I don't know. I was also reading where he's really not calling for a withdrawal.
No.
Like a redeployment.
Yeah, and he consistently phrased it as a redeployment. He didn't. He said a redeployment to the periphery of the theater. Now, to me, that sounds like he wants to pull back to Qatar and Kuwait and our little friendly Gulf states there.
Right, and see what happens. Because I think we all know what's going to happen as soon as we leave out of there, no matter what we do.
Well, if you want to, one of the things that was said is the fact that, that was said today is the fact that our mere presence there is one of the biggest stumbling blocks to the formation of an Iraqi democracy, because as long as we're there, some portion of that Iraqi government is going to have to cooperate with us, and by cooperating with us, they taint themselves as being un-Iraqi nationals.
Well, and for the most part, the military and the police that they're training are just saying, as you know, we're sending them out to do the torturing, because even the Alawi and another figurehead, I can't think of who it was now, they were saying, you know, that the brutality is worse than when Saddam was in there. So, and then they had a meeting, the Iraqi, you know, the Kurds and the Sunnis and the Shiites, they want us out too.
At least according to the communique they issued from Cairo last week, they do. And that, you know, I've said it several times, that communique also includes a tacit approval of killing as many Americans as they wish.
Right. And another thing that Representative Martha said is we're not seen as the liberators or anything else. We are now seen as the common enemy. We're seen as the problem there.
We are the one thing that Kurds, Shia, and Sunnis can all agree on. And that's a bad thing in that neck of the woods.
Exactly. And also, he is also debunking this myth of all these foreign fighters and all these outside terrorists coming in and all this. He's saying it's mostly, you know, at best it's 7% of those that are fighting.
And the rest of the people, when we picked them, they're insurgents. Well, you know, they came. Dear Leader introduced a new word yesterday during his speech, Jethro. We've got a new word for the people who hate us over there, which, you know, the entire country.
Rejectionists.
You know, Rummy has been at work again, because it was Rummy in his news conference who said he used the word. He said he had an epiphany last Sunday. That these people were no longer to be called insurgents. You know, it seems appropriate to call them resistance fighters, doesn't it? They're resisting our occupation.
Yeah, they don't even. But what gets me about Rumsfeld? What an idiot! Did you see the Marine Corps general there? Is that General Pace?
Yeah, Peter Pace. In fact, I've got sound from it here.
He was saying insurgents, and he was just shaking his head. Rummy was over there rallying on about the common enemy of the, you know, Iraqi government. He's just shaking his head and going, he would have liked to have gotten rid of Rummy.
You got, apparently, sitting around and thinking about semantics takes up the biggest part of Rummy's day.
Yeah.
When he talks, he just sounds like he's crazier than a sprayed roach. But it takes up the biggest part, because you got to remember, he tried to float a new word for the war. Remember when the G-Watt became the G-Save? The Global War on Terror, Rummy rechristened it the Global Struggle Against Violent Extremism, but Dear Leader couldn't quite manage to get that out of his mouth, so he just said the hell with it and went back to War on Terror.
All right. And actually, I was reading there on one of the Internet sites that Rumsfeld actually was denying for the first year of the war, even denying that there's an insurgency. You know, I can remember now, they were just saying it was like pockets.
Well, remember the dead enders?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nothing organized.
Yeah, this is not an insurgency. It's just a gang of dead enders.
Nothing here. Move on. And you know, just like Star Wars.
Yes.
The public and Congress, they just, you know, move right along. But
these are not the droids you're looking for. These are not the droids. Exactly.
Well, what they're talking about, even with this withdrawal, what they're not going to withdraw is the air support, we're going to have a full contingent of helicopters and ground attack fighters and stuff and bombers. And the word is that the bombing has increased substantially, you know, within the last 6 months, maybe a year. And we don't really know how many, you know, how much bombing is going on. But,
well, it seems, it would almost be, if you were sitting down and being tactical about it, Jethro, it seems like the smart money would be to do what Congressman Murtha suggested. If you were really serious about setting up a situation in which that government has a chance to take hold.
Right. Well, the thing is, we're gonna try to make the Iraqis fight, but we're gonna give them air support, even if it's a three-man pillbox. They're gonna call it in. We're gonna go in and try to bomb them into smithereens, and then, you know, let make it look like a great Iraqi victory.
Yeah, go in, drop a little MK-77 on them. You know, napalm.
Yeah. Well, and Bush said that, you know, at the fight for Tal Afar, that, you know, the Iraqi troops, 11 battalion strong, led the way into the attack and stuff.
Yeah, sorry. Didn't happen.
Yeah. This, what is the Time reporter, Mike Ware, I think.
Ware, yeah.
Yeah. He said the Iraqis didn't lead anything but the rear. He said the Green Berets planned that attack and led it the whole way through. They were telling the Iraqis every move to make. So.
Well, you know, it's all... earlier in the program, I talked about the way that George lied his way through that letter from the dead Marine. Couldn't even read the whole letter.
Sad.
It's pitiful. It's pitiful, and it's hateful. And the worst, the scariest part of it, Jethro, is it runs the risk of putting us in a profoundly dangerous position, because Murtha is right about the broken military. Murtha is right about the equipment that's going to have to be replaced. And we might need it soon.
And plus, some of these, I think, National Guard units, they're on their last deployment. I think by law, they can only be deployed so many times, and they're not going to be able to go. And Murtha was also saying some of these National Guard and Reserve units that are scheduled to go back over, they're not going to have the equipment, you know, to be fully equipped when they go over.
Well, it all boils...
It only gets worse.
Yeah, what it boils down to, Jethro, is these guys are screw-ups. I mean, it's just plain, common, ordinary, everyday language. These guys are screw-ups. They told us they were going to be the grown-ups in charge, and it turns out that they are utterly and totally, hopelessly inept.
Yeah, but then you get on the liberal media, big plan... you know, Bush's new strategy for Iraq. You're getting all this, all these headlines and all this build up. And then
well, I read those 35 pages, and you know, it was the same thing that Gertrude Stein said about Oakland, California. There's no there. It was 35 pages of the same old crummy garbage that we've more or less heard for the last 3 years, and yet it took them 3 years to put out this 35-page junior high school book report.
Like the old rock song, you build me up just to let me down. It's the same deal.
Yeah.
Stay the line, you know, as they step up, we step down. But to base all of this on the Iraqis taking over the military and the police force and actually having them put the hammer down on their own people.
Well, these guys have a talent for sloganeering, Jethro. It's running wars that they're not so very good at.
Yeah, we're going to end up with somebody worse than Hussein in there and a theocracy, and they're not saying anything about the oil. That's what's getting me. They're trying, you know, they're
what oil?
Sandbagging that big time.
Yeah, well, it's because they're having a hard time pumping any of it because the pipelines keep getting blown up. Yeah, there's going to be a guy in there that's worse than Saddam Hussein. We know his name. You know his name. Ahmed Chalabi. That's the new Saddam.
Whew. Wonder if the vice president will be curveball.
I don't know. He's either going to be the vice president or Chalabi's personal bartender.
Yeah, head of intelligence.
And you know, it's the same. If you bother to just look back a little bit, Jethro, it's the same stuff all over again. Remember when Noriega was Poppy Bush's boy in Panama City?
It's the same deal over and over and over.
Yeah.
You know, Central America and, you know, Iran with the Shah and then with Saddam. In Vietnam, you know, we got rid of a couple of those guys and put our own puppet in there. It's the same deal. And it's the same deal with Vietnam. You know, it's the Vietnamization. We're going to train these guys and they're going to take over.
What are we going to do Once our military is good and broken, what are we going to do when this new strong man takes over in Iraq and decides that he really, really does want to screw with us? What are we going to do then?
Right, and Iran becomes their closest ally.
They've already signed the defense agreement.
So, yeah, talk about the spread of democracy.
Yeah, remember, from history, the Germans and the Russians signed that mutual defense pact prior to the Second World War. Well, the Iraqis and the Iranians have signed such a pact. They've done it.
Bitter enemies, it took us to unite them. Talk about a common enemy. You know, we've done nothing but, burn the playhouse down over there. The playhouse in D.C.'s on fire.
I've got a story here. Remember the philosophy behind this whole nightmare, Jethro. Remember how we were going to isolate all the terrorists in one place with the flypaper theory?
Yeah, that's bogus, too.
Well, headline, Jordan charges militants over death plot. Four Jordanian nationals, I don't know, most people don't realize it. Some of the training that we're doing, allegedly, our contractors are working in Jordan at base camps to train the Iraqi military because it's unsafe to do so in Iraq. Four Jordanian nationals were busted for plotting to kill Americans who train the Iraqi police recruits. You'll notice that the story doesn't say American soldiers because, once again, it's mercenaries.
Private contractors. No good.
Hessians.
Yes. And reminiscent of the Rome and its decline. Yeah, so we got to get out of there. But like I say, but when they start these airstrikes, there's going to be more inadvertent killing because, all this precision bombing, and stuff that they claim, that's not going to happen.
No.
And with the increase now, and then when the Iraqis take over, they're going to bungle stuff. They're going to be calling in airstrikes. They're not going to want to fight. They're going to want us to come in there and bomb somebody out.
Right. We keep hearing, leaving Iraq will destabilize the Middle East. It makes you wonder how stupid, and I hate to use that word, but how stupid are these people, Rummy and Cheney? Do they not understand that they destabilized Iraq when the Middle East when they invaded Iraq? That's the destabilizing factor.
Well, we might be a stabilizing factor as far as pulling them all together. The only destabilization is any hope of a future foreign policy there that they're going to trust and that they think that they're not going to get the shaft on. Our credibility, and even around worldwide, our credibility is shot now. And the former President Carter, who I can say is probably the greatest moral authority that I know in the United States, he beats these Billy Graham and his son. He makes those guys look like shoeshine boys. But he's saying, we've lost the moral high ground. And people are saying, what's up?
When you're sticking things up to prisoners and torturing them, and when you're hooking electrodes to them, you're not losing the moral high ground. You're throwing it the heck away.
Well, and that's another sign of, the dash to the totalitarian state. Doing away with any kind of international laws, things like that, And they thought that, they actually thought that Bush's authority overrode international law. They didn't have to go by that.
That just makes your head spin, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does, because you wonder how did they come to that decision?
These are the people, Jethro, who say that they follow the original intent of the Constitution.
Which is another sign of the totalitarian state is using irrationality and emotion and intuition rather than a scientific and a well studied approach, one that's already been proven. I mean that's
Yeah, we know what it is, don't we?
That's the Bush regime right there in a nutshell.
Madness.
I tell you, it's madness.
Jethro, we got to run, brother.
All right, Bob.
Take it easy. Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Later.
Later.
Madness. Sheer madness. What else can you say about the whole totality of our foreign policy? It is what it is.
The fools. The mad fools.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, let's take our break. And plenty left in the stack. I hardly know where to go next. Maybe you've got something on your mind. You're free to call 877, the number 4, head on, 877-443-2366. Email to Bob at headonradio.com. This is Head On Radio.
Hello, can I ask a few questions about the apartment you have on Park Street?
What was your name?
My name is Juan Hernandez.
It's been rented.
Who is gone?
Hello?
Hello, my name is Sanjay Kumar. I am calling about the apartment on Park Street.
It's not available.
It's not available, but I just now saw it in the paper.
May I help you?
Hi, my name is Tyrone Washington. I'm calling about a place to rent on Park Street.
No longer available.
It's not available now.
Nope, sorry.
Oh, okay.
Hello?
Yes, hello. My name is Graham Wellington. I'm calling about the apartment for rent on Park Street. Is that still available?
Yes, it is.
Oh, it is?
Yes.
Oh, really? I'd love to make an appointment.
Housing discrimination is illegal. If you think you've been a victim because of your race, color, national origin, sex, religion, disability, or family status, call 800-669-9777 or visit fairhousinglaw.org. Fair housing. It's not an option. It's the law. Brought to you by HUD, the Ad Council, and LCCREF.
Hi, I'm Joanne Woodward. Ever notice how many things in life happen in a circle? The seasons, revolving credit, hula hoops, the spinning of the circle we call Earth, and recycling. Together, we've already made a difference. Sorting glass, plastic, separating cans, stacking newspapers. Now there are lots of products made from things we've already recycled. A paperclip, in a more daring life, a 56 convertible, a cereal box, once your Sunday paper. It all goes back to the circle. It starts when we recycle trash at home and at work. It's completed when we buy products made from recycled materials. How do you know the difference? Check the label for something called post-consumer recycled content. Then buy the highest percentage of it you can find. You'll save a tree, you'll save energy, and in your own way, you'll help save the world. Complete the circle.
For your free Buy Recycled shopping guide, call 1-800-2-RECYCLE. A message from the Ad Council and Environmental Defense. Finding the ways that work.
I love it when my president tells me to put food on my family. I just, you know, when he tells me to do that, I immediately, you know, we start having a food fight. So,
do you really?
Do you and your kids
start from like Twinkies and stuff at each other?
No, more like, you know, mashed potatoes and stuff.
Oh, right,
stuff
right.
Sticks,
pull on.
Sticks
oh, right
to the
on.
Wall, you know. But anyway, you know, and that should be a top story all by itself. You know? How did we elect such a moron?
We try to answer that and many more questions this week and last week on Fourth Estate Radio. I'm John Fox, one of your co-hosts. Bruce Birch will join me on Saturday, 10 p.m. Eastern Time, every week to try and strip the pants off the mainstream media. That's FourthEstateRadio.com.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Bob.
All right, downhill to 10. Or 7 if you're on the left coast. And anything in between. And I can't even imagine what Greenwich Mean Time is. This is Ed On. I'm Bob. You know the phone number. A quick update. This from our friend Victor. Iraqi rebels launch assault in Ramadi. We're about to lose another city that we had taken by force previously. See, that's what happens when you let a ne'er-do-well screw-up like George Bush start a war. That's when you let a dead-ender like, and crazier than a sprayed roach, Donald Rumsfeld, run one. He was told it would take 500,000 troops to take and hold Iraq.
Nah, we can do it with 100,000.
So we take a city, we lose a city, we take the city back, it's like moving piles of sand across the parade ground. It's utterly fruitless. Thanks, Victor. To the phones, Peter is with us. Hey, Peter, you're head on.
Hey, Bob, good evening to you.
How you doing?
I'm doing great this evening. It's always great to talk to you. It's a little off topic.
There's no such thing on this show.
You're absolutely right. I shouldn't apologize for off topic ever. It's World AIDS Day.
It is that.
And can you believe that incompetent fool actually used the term gay community today in that speech? I nearly choked the patronizing fool.
Oh, no, he didn't.
Oh, he did. I couldn't believe it. The man actually referred to the gay community as if there was some respect there. You know, he's always referred to it in ways like, you know, marriage protection, or what is it, save marriage or defend
sanctity
marriage.
Of marriage.
Yeah, whatever. And then, you know, going on about homosexuals and all that. So, you know, the man actually wove into his speech the phrase, gay community, I could have died. You know,
well, at least he didn't say the homosexuals.
This man's outrageous. He introduced a new partners initiative, and he's going to reach out to the faith-based community organizations to provide much of the health care to the world and make sure they have access to American assistance.
Well, you know what that means, though, Peter.
Yeah, Katrina is what it means.
Well, yeah, and it means that we're going to give up, you know, faith-based. We're going to give up on medicine and science, and we're just going to go back to, well, you know, here, handle this snake a little bit, and let's lay hands on and pray for a while.
Well, absolutely. There's an article out from the Center for American Progress, and they've indicated that much of the new funding is going to support, the way they put it, unqualified faith-based supporters of the Bush administration who actively undermine condom use and take money away from more effective and comprehensive programs.
You know, Peter, I'm so glad you called. You opened so many doors for me. Because I was thinking about the fact that it is World AIDS Day, and it's also something else. This is the 50th anniversary of Rosa Parks' refusal to give up her seat for a white person.
Oh, yes, I remember hearing that on the news that some cities were having the front seat of the bus held empty.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
And and Dear Leader came out and speechified a little bit about that today.
Oh yeah. Well, the man needs to increase his meds and put him in a rubber room.
But what they don't understand, and you know, irony is lost on these people. We know that, Peter. What they don't understand is that what Rosa Parks did is the same issue as what gay people who want the same rights as every other American are fighting for now. It's the same thing. I was talking with a friend, and I've said this time and again, and it's worth repeating. This is a human rights issue. It's all human rights.
And of course it is. And when it comes to anything that has to do with rights, funding is cut, and it promised the moon. Howard Dean spoke up about it today. He said the Bush White House has talked the big game about fighting AIDS, and they've constantly and consistently shortchanged the and stood in the way of important global efforts to curb it. And you know, I got to tell you this. This guy, Patrick Guerrero, you know, a Republican is a Republican, gay or not. Patrick
sure.
Guerrero, he's the president of the Log Cabin Republican.
Oh, those poor people.
Oh, my God. Okay, listen to this. He said, this shouldn't be a partisan issue, but this
too important to get bogged down in petty political bickering. As if anyone standing in their way, as if the Democratic Party was bickering over this.
Well, you know, I think a lot about the log cabin Republicans the same way I think about the Sonder Commandos during the Second World War. You know, these people are joyfully helping their fellow human beings in their walk toward the ovens.
Ha ha! Ain't it the truth? That's stupid to the bone.
You know, I can't get my mind around what a log cabin Republican is. They talk about the roots, the Lincolnism, and I guess maybe they're hearkening to that current theory that's got a little coinage to it that Abe Lincoln was gay.
Oh, yeah. I haven't read. There's a book out about that, and apparently there's a lot of evidence to that effect. And maybe he was. I don't know. I'm told he was tall and good looking. Who knows?
I've never met anybody who thought he was good looking. but the fact though is. At their bottom level, what you said, a Republican is a Republican. The log cabin Republicans, they may be, you know, real live, honest to God, Streisand ticket holding friends of Dorothy, but they are Republicans first, foremost, and always.
Well, they are. You know, in the chat room the other night, someone was asking, was wondering if there were any closets in the cabin. And I had to laugh at that. I think there are plenty of lock closets in those cabins myself.
There is a line from one of my favorite songs, Peter, by the Drive-By Truckers. It's a song called Zip City. It's on the Southern Rock Opera album. And the line is, I think, your brother was born with 10 fingers and 10 toes, and it's a good thing he was because he needs all 20 just to keep the closet door closed.
Ha ha. Oh, man.
And, you know, whether it's David Dreyer or Bob from the Tom Hartman chat room emailed me a story from the Blade last night that indicates that this reprehensible Randy Duke Cunningham may be a closet case.
I heard you talk about that. I'm so glad you pointed that out. That was amazing. There was one line about whips in the military, whips in the battlefield, as in,
yeah,
yeehaw, whips, you know. The whole thing was amazing to me.
But the thing that just really just breaks my heart, the self-loathing that goes on.
Well,
you know, if we had an America that was an America for every American, and people were free to be who they are and what God made them. Imagine the progress we could make.
Well, we could make great progress, and a funny part of it too to me, it's very annoying is this example from Patrick Guerrero. These people constantly are attempting to take the moral high ground, yet they're so far off base that they don't even come close to addressing any issues. This guy's attempting to take some kind of moral high ground here. Don't get bogged down in bickering. They're so far away from moral high ground, it boggles the mind.
Well, they think it's bickering. I think it's war.
Well,
yeah, and political or otherwise, it's like what we said last night. We can afford to be magnanimous after we've won.
Well, yeah.
So, you know, if it's partisan bickering to suggest that one human being in America should have the same rights as another human being in America, I'm up for the bickering. I'm all in on that.
Well, I agree with you, Bob. It's a long fight that it's been going on for a long, long time, and it's two steps forward and one step back. But with the Bush administration, all of us, gay, straight, women, children, all of us except the extreme rich have taken 5 steps back. So it's going to take some time to recover from this, but we will, because the truth will prevail, and peace and justice will eventually prevail, but there will always be the evil backlash from these Pharisees.
And we've got to isolate them in their own little, there it is again, closet. And, you know, close the door and let them sit in there and just hop up and down and squeal and talk about how we're taking the X out of Christmas or whatever the Republican talking point of the day is.
Oh, yeah, yeah, and the Hannity Christmas balls. Good.
Oh, my God, yeah.
somebody emailed me. One of the folks in the chat room emailed me the video of that. It was on one of the shows the other night. I can't remember which one, but it was actually... showed I was just outraged.
Yeah, I think it was on Keith Olbermann's show.
That was it. I asked him to send me the clip. Yeah.
Well, I tell you what, Peter, it's always good to hear from you. And thank you. And like I said, thank you again for opening so many doors for me, because I think I've got enough to babble about now for the next 45 minutes.
Babble on, brother.
All right. Take care.
Good night.
All right, let's hit a break, and when we come back, seriously, there's a nexus in all of this, and I'm so grateful to Peter for bringing it up. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Once upon a time, in a small cottage, lived a boy named Chuck. One day, Chuck heard a knock from inside the wall.
Who is it?
He cried, for Chuck cried rather easily.
It is I, the energy hog, over here,
said a voice. Now, an energy hog is what you have when people waste energy. Chuck ran to tell his family.
There's a hog in our house!
Exclaimed Chuck.
That's no way to talk about your Aunt Melba,
said his mother, and sent him to his room.
That does it,
said Chuck. He raced to his computer and logged on to energyhog.org.
I'll just have to get rid of it myself.
At energyhog.org, Chuck played cool games and learned to use energy wisely. He learned that by switching to better light bulbs, he had the power to rid the cottage of the evil energy hog forever.
I'm leaving, but I shall return,
vowed the hog.
Don't count on it, bacon breath,
vowed Chuck. And the moral of the story is, to use energy wisely, log on to energyhog.org, or a switch in time, save swine.
This public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
November is National Lung Cancer Awareness Month. Lung cancer is the nation's leading cause of cancer death, killing more than breast, prostate, colon, and skin cancer combined. Early detection of lung cancer, when it's most treatable, is key to survival. New screening methods such as CAT scans are being used in clinical trials. Learn your risk and the symptoms of lung cancer. Smoking is the major risk, but you can develop lung cancer even if you don't smoke. Coughing, wheezing, and fatigue are just a few of the symptoms that are often confused with less serious conditions. Treatment may include surgery, radiation treatments, chemotherapy, or one of several interventional radiology procedures. Discuss treatment options with your doctor. For more information on lung cancer risk, symptoms, detection, and treatment, visit www.radiologyinfo.org. That's radiologyinfo.org. This health reminder from the Radiological Society of North America.
Tornadoes have been reported in several neighboring states.
Small business owner Jonathan Harlan of Jackson, Tennessee.
Living in Tornado Alley, you kind of get used to dealing with them. You just pray one doesn't hit your area. Late Sunday night, just before midnight, an F4 twister touched down in Jackson, leveling our downtown. There was nothing left of our building, just piles of bricks and concrete. We lost everything. Fortunately, backup systems were in place. Employees knew what to do and worked from other locations. Because we were prepared, our clients never knew the difference.
Whether it's a natural disaster or terrorist attack, every business needs an emergency plan. A plan can save lives, company assets, and your entire business at little or no cost to your company. You can't control what happens, but you can be prepared. Visit www.ready.gov today. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Homeland Security and the Ad Council.
Thank you.
I've only got a little bit of my high school French left. But it was enough for that. And see, that Bob, he's an American. He's, that wife of his is playing that Frenchy music. Seriously, though, there was a rift, a split announced today between the United States and Europe over abstinence-only-based sex education. I gotta get a bongo drum or something in here that I can just hammer on when the stupid stuff comes around. The abstinence-only crowd, you want to know what else they're responsible for? I ran across this yesterday evening after the show. Now, the same group that say, well, you know, just say no to the flying monkey, love. Secondary virginity. Yeah, that's right. Secondary virginity. Or being a born-again or renewed virgin. You getting this? This is for the people that, we told you not to do it. We said abstinence only was the only way to go. You up and did it again. Don't worry about it. Come on over to our mega church and be a born-again virgin. Now, this thing, I printed it out. It takes a couple of pages. There's a bullet point with a link, how to start over if you've lost your virginity. Secondary virginity is a decision to abstain from sexual activity starting with today and continuing until the day you get married. Anyone can choose to regain their virginity no matter what stage of the game they are in. This is a game? I thought this was life. I never even imagined it was dress rehearsal. Unfortunately, this can be difficult, no kidding, when you are surrounded by an environment that doesn't lend itself to your starting. Basically, what it boils down to is if you did the nasty and you're not feeling so good about doing the nasty and you want to stop doing the nasty. Well, these people are out there telling youngsters that if they'll just quit doing it, they'll be virgins all over again. Honest to God, it says that. It really does. These same people are willing to confuse children. Well, it's abstinence. And so, you know, kids being kids will do a little bit of logical gymnastics themselves. Well, okay, if we don't put that there, then it's not sex. And next thing you know, you got a kid. It's World AIDS Day, people. There's a website out there called speakspeak.org. And they've come up with a new campaign to actively oppose the actions of the parents, Parents Television Resource Council or what, L. Brent Bozo, or Bozell, I'm sorry, the third, or third, L. Brent Bozell the third, his group, you know, the one that's It was the breast of death on Janet Jackson's chest. This is the crowd that forced that god-awful pandering legislation in the Congress that upped FCC fines to truly prohibitive levels. And, you know, these are not people who want to be Americans with you. They want to be Americans, by God, over you. They want to determine what you see, what you read, what you hear, and by God, what you think. So at, I believe it is speakspeak.org, someone correct me if I'm wrong, they have engaged in a campaign of opposing every complaint that L. Brent Bozo III engages in. Jump in there, give him a hand if you don't mind, it won't take you too long. Let's see, the latest one, L. Brent Bozo III and his bozoids that follow him are out after, and you know, look, I don't watch a lot of TV. I'm right there on the couch for Mountaineer basketball and football games when possible. I like a little bit of food TV. I'll stop on the History Channel from time to time. I don't have a lot of time for television. but I darn sure don't want to take away anybody's right to rot their mind by watching that damn fool idiot box. Least of all, let some bunch of religious weirdos, sorry, my bad, religion industry weirdos, you know, the evil ones, determine what we can and cannot see. So if you've got time, help them out. But, you know, again, they all tie together. They're all the same people. L. Brent Bozo's gang is the same as the stupid woman who says, I will not dispense drugs that have a serious chance of ending human life. Dummy, everything behind your counter has that serious chance. Get out of the business. And it's the same thing as, you know, just say no to sex. Just say no. And they forget the old Italian proverb that bed is the poor man's opera. And it's the same group that weighs in with the Roman Catholic Church and says, well, you know, we can't give those Africans condoms, you know. Because then there wouldn't be more little AIDS babies born. What kind? And if you scrutinize it for even a microsecond, you realize how dirt, stupid, evil these awful, awful people are. And yeah, the fight that's going on for the rights of every American today is the same right as Rosa Parks fought for. Rosa Parks wanted a seat on the bus. A significant portion of America wants a seat at the table. Or a little place to stand in front of the altar and declare their undying devotion one to another. And an America that will allow that, an America that will acknowledge that all people who are citizens are of this, all men are created equal, that part. Equal justice under law, that thing. An America that will acknowledge that is an America that lives up to the dreams and visions of Franklin and Jefferson and Adams and Madison. It's not hard to wrap your mind around. Break time. This is Head On. I'm Bob.
Second radio stereo titled Why Learn at ID number ZLMO4147, November 9th, 2004.
Why should our children learn another language?
Everybody in the world doesn't speak English.
To succeed in this shrinking world, our children will need to communicate in more than one language.
So you could make new friends from different countries.
For our kids' sake, it's time to speak up for language education. Find out how at yearoflanguages.org.
That makes me confident.
Sponsored by the American Council on the Teaching of Foreign Languages.
Hey, friends, Eric Estrada here. Just like you, I'm really into engines, but there's something else that I'm into even more. Taking care of the planet. I bet you didn't know that motor oil from one oil change dumped in a drain or on the ground can contaminate 1 million gallons of fresh water. That means that if we don't recycle it, we could be drinking it. So take your used oil to your nearest recycling center or call toll-free 1-800-CLEANUP. Remember, if you dump it, you'll drink it.
Struck by that quote from Samuel Johnson that I got from our friend Sue. I mentioned it earlier. No people can be great who have ceased to be virtuous. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is Head On if you're just joining us. The phone number is 877-443-2366. Emails bob@headonradio.com. No people can be great who have ceased to be virtuous. Is there a virtue in the Republican desire to keep pressed down, hidden away, closeted, fully a tenth or more of the population of this nation? Is there virtue in that? Bill Bennett, you remember Bingo Billy Bennett, the guy who sat naked eating Cheetos and pulling a one-armed bandit and ran up hundreds of thousands of dollars of losses in Vegas while lecturing America on virtue? Bingo Billy Bennett, who said, well, you know, it would be reprehensible, but if you aborted all the black babies, crime would go down. Yeah, that Bingo Billy Bennett, you know, friend of the president. Is he virtuous? Is his hatred for people who don't have sex the same way he does, is that virtue? Are we a virtuous people when we deny the protections and the rights and the freedoms and the obligations and the liberties of the Constitution and laws of the United States of America to a segment of the population that you couldn't even tell was any different from you on looking? Is the way one has sex any better telling point of how good or bad a human being is than the color of their skin? In some ways, Rosa Parks had it worse. Because just by showing up, the hateful racists, you know, the ones who later grew up to be Republicans, they could look at her and say, well, you know, you can't have this, and you got to do it that way because, you know, you're darker than me. I'm pink. You're not. You lose. But in some ways, for that portion of humanity that happens to be American and has sex in a way that is different from perhaps I or some other individual might have it, it's worse because it's a creeping kind of bigotry. It's the bigotry of whispers. You know, you didn't in the deep, well, all over this nation, not just the Deep South. There was no whispering about it. You know, don't let the sun set on you here. But instead, in this latest battle for human rights, you don't have anything nearly as overt. You have whispering campaigns and phrases like longtime companion and confirmed bachelor. And she certainly is masculine, isn't she? You know, we've seen this kind of filth creep into our own community here in the hills and hollers of West Virginia, a little bar in Uptown Beckley. And yeah, it was an alternative, you hear the quotation marks, an alternative lifestyle bar. And yeah, guys tended to go through the door in skirts, okay. So what? I know a very, very holier-than-thou individual who once said, you know, big church-going guy, I wish they'd just bulldoze the place. And there was a bar called The Haze. And, yeah, argue, you know, gay people went there, straight people went there, transgendered people went there, whatever. People went, it was, among, more than anything, it was a dance club, as far as I can understand. And someone went in there recently and destroyed the place inside. Just destroyed it. Forced them to leave their location and move to another one. I despise that kind of behavior. And the thing is, no one in Beckley's particularly interested in finding out who did it. It's certainly a back burner issue for the local constabulary. And it was an act of hate. It wasn't, well, let's go break into a bar, that one looks handy. No, that's not how it happened. It was an act of hate. And you know, the next thing that you hear coming out of some wingnut's mouth is, well, I don't know why we gotta have them hate crimes. A crime is a crime, and to make it worse on somebody just because you're punishing people's thoughts. No, sunshine. You're punishing their actions. You are punishing their intent. You know, anytime you charge somebody with a crime, you have to prove their intent. You have to prove that they damn well meant to do it. And if they damn well meant to do it because their heart was full of hate for somebody over the way they have sex, sure, enhance the punishment. If they did it because their heart was full of hate over the color of someone's skin, sure, enhance the punishment. If they did it because their heart is full of hate, because they had a physical handicap, absolutely enhance the punishment. The only problem is, in this and most other states, race is protected. Disability is protected. But it's still okay to hate other human beings because of how they choose. No, they don't choose. See? That's how insidious it becomes. Now, in this and most other states, it's still A-okay to hate someone because of how they have sex. Which I find absolutely infuriating in the first place, because if there is one thing... Remember what my mama taught me? Boy, mind your own business. If there is one thing in the world that deserves to, you know, and I guess it dovetails with that right-wing Republican talking point that says, what is it? It says, there is no right to privacy in the Constitution. And, of course, if there's no right to privacy in the Constitution, then there is, by God, no right to privacy in the bedroom. And if you can't afford someone privacy during sex, which, being unwilling to do so, I find just a little disturbing to begin with, if you can't afford them that privacy, how dare we consider ourselves a virtuous people? No people can be great who have ceased to be virtuous. Yes, dear. No, you were going to say something, please. It simply astonishes me that we even need to have this conversation in this country. You know, what did Abraham Lincoln call us? The last great hope of earth? And yet we're the last great hope of earth, and there is still a segment of this population that is so filled with frequently religiously fueled hatred. Now, remember, Osama bin Laden feels the same way about issues of sexuality that the Southern Baptist Church does, okay? Osama bin Laden and Abu Musab al-Zarqawi and, who's Osama's second in command? I've lost his name. They feel the same way about human sexuality that James Dobson does. They share that in common. And that if we could get that across to ordinary America, that might make a few light bulbs go on. Like the hateful little marriage, stupid, screwed up, poorly drafted marriage amendment they passed in Texas a couple of weeks ago. That thing was actively supported by A, the Republican Party, B, the Fundy churches, and C, the freaking Klan. I don't care what the issue is, if I find myself in agreement with the Klan, I gotta figure I'm pretty well wrong. Well, you know, sometimes the Klan has a good... No, they don't! They're the damn Klan! Oh, well, let's take our final break. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
I'm just a kid.
I'm six.
I'm nine.
I'm four and a half.
And I've got asthma.
You know just how upset I can get when I have an asthma attack.
And I know that you want to do all that you can do to help me.
But you might not know
about all the different stuff that can make me have an asthma attack.
Or all the simple things you can do to fight my asthma.
You can fight it with a bear.
You can fight it with a duck.
You can fight it with a wrench.
Put my teddy bear in the freezer to wipe out dust mites.
Dry off rubber duckies and fix leaks to get rid of mold.
Because mold can start my asthma attacks too.
Discover other simple ways to prevent an asthma attack. Call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS or visit noattacks.org. A public service message brought to you by the U.S. EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
Thanks for doing all you can to help me out.
Because I don't want to feel like a fish with no water.
Roof fall accidents have declined significantly in recent years, but they still continue to claim the lives of too many working miners. Hello, I'm Bob Friend with the Mine Safety and Health Administration. No miner has to die from a roof fall accident. Miners and mine operators can take steps to reduce the likelihood of these tragic accidents in underground mines. Always follow the approved roof control plan for your mining operation. Make required roof examinations before starting work. Look at the roof closely, listen, and sound it out. Install additional roof support when you encounter adverse roof conditions. Always use maximum supervision and oversight when performing retreat mining operations. Never, ever walk or travel under unsupported roof. Make the right decision. Focus more attention on roof control in underground mines. Thank you for listening.
So, which one's yours?
The one at bat.
Oh, that's okay, Chris.
Only my kid could strike out in T-ball.
Oh, run, Chris, go!
Looks like he's having some trouble running.
Oh, he's wandering way off the baseline.
It's like he can't see.
Oh, my gosh, his helmet is too big.
It's as big as a bucket.
You know, I must have gotten him an adult one. What was I thinking?
You're out!
Oh!
When safety equipment doesn't fit, it's game over. That goes for your kids, too. If they're too big for a car seat, that doesn't mean they're the right size for an adult safety belt. If they're under 4'9", they need a booster seat. It raises them up so the safety belt fits properly. And the right fit makes all the difference to their future. To learn more, visit www.boosterseat.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation and the Ad Council.
Okay, we got about 8-9 minutes, so a couple of high points will, you know, sort of hit and go and hit and go. Along the same lines of what we were talking about in the last few minutes, I want to give you advance warning of this so you'll have time to get prepared. Now, this what I'm about to tell you about, this thing is not going to happen until, where is it? February 4th at 6 p.m. in Sturbridge, Massachusetts. Make your plans now. It's right up there with a good nice nice meeting of the clavern. Mr. Heterosexual contest. You getting this? Mr. Heterosexual contest. Sturbridge, Massachusetts. It's being put together by some cretin named Tom Krause. He holds himself out as a talk radio host. Well, you know, I'm living proof. Anybody can be one. But he also holds himself out as a minister of the gospel.
Ooh.
He's holding a Mr. Heterosexual contest. Here are the events. Strength. How many Oprah magazines can you tear? Speed. Name that food. Be the first to name the flavors and brand of chip. Huh? Versatility. Give a 1-minute dissertation on your best use of duct tape. Talent. You have 3 minutes to display the talent of your choosing. In this contest, no talent might be the best talent of all. You following this? Intellect. Answer random questions from Tom Krause. Prize money. First place, $100. Second place, $50. Third place, $25. And at each event, there will be a testimony given from someone who once lived the homosexual lifestyle and has been freed through Jesus Christ, who never said a blessed word about it. Now, that last part I added. Tom Krause believes it is time for people to stand up and celebrate how God has designed us. Tom says, I'm just looking for tolerance for heterosexuality. Oh, Lord God, Billy Bob, these people make me sick. You know, 50 years ago, the Tom Krauses of the world would have been having blackface comedy nights and watermelon eating contests. And, you get the idea. These are the same people. Same people, different sheets. More events are being scheduled in Albany, New York, and Louisville, Kentucky. Mr. Heterosexual is bound. Yeah, they said bound. Mr. Heterosexual is bound to sweep the country. This is another one of those little press releases that I get from the right wing. Probably the craziest thing Tom Krause ever did was eat a glass bottle of beer. Woohoo! Is this happening in America? This isn't happening in the America they promised me I was going to get when I was sitting there in civics class. This isn't the America that I was promised in third grade when we were going through all the wonderful stuff. I guess that's the way education works. They tell you the good, and then they leave you on your own to figure out the rotten, the filthy, the dirty, and the nasty. Because, rest assured, talk radio host and pastor Tom Krause is the dirty, filthy, and the nasty. I'm just looking for tolerance for heterosexuality. Really, and who's not tolerating it? Tom. Feeling a little persecuted there, buddy? You know, they have medications for that. How many Oprah magazines can you tear? See, you know, hey, look, double bonus. Gets to wedge in a little bit of race hate along with his sexuality hate. And see, it's always couched in those terms. Someone who once chose to live the homosexual lifestyle. I've heard the jokes about gaydar and things like that. Does Tom Krause have gaydar? Does he have some sort of divinely inspired ability to spot someone and know what they do in the dark behind a closed bedroom door? By what? Let's see. But be the first to name the flavor and brand of chip? What is this stereotype? People who have sex differently from Tom Krause don't eat potato chips? Or Doritos or whatever? Or they do, or they only eat certain brands? Utz? Snyder's of Berlin? Oh, wait a minute, I got it. Lay's. Okay. How many Oprah magazines can you tear? Jim's back with us. Hey, Jim, your head on.
Hi, Bob. How you doing? Thank you for letting me come back just for a minute.
That's okay. Sure.
I had forgotten today is World AIDS Day. How? I don't know. But anyway, I can remember having friends, several in particular, who, back in June of 1985, and friend came by to see me. He said, I got to talk to you about something. And I said, well, what is it? And he said, I have AIDS. And the,
must have hit you like a ton of bricks.
Yeah. And the guy was such a talented person. I still have some of his artwork in my home. And he had the whole bag of horrors, everything from KS, amoebas, to the AIDS pneumonia, to everything. I mean, the whole bag of horrors. And yeah, it did. And to see so much talent and so much ability wasted and just taken away. And I can remember when the CDC couldn't even get an electron microscope from the Reagan administration.
Right, the Reagan administration, you know, again.
He wouldn't even mention it until the second year of his last term.
Yeah.
And, you know, how in the world people, why do they want to deify this man who could have done so much to have nipped this thing in the bud through education and through just clear-minded thinking instead of narrow-minded bigotry? That's that really gives me cause for great concern. And in Randy Kilt's book, and the band played on,
yeah,
dramatized so well. If you read that book, and what he said has come true, has come to pass. Now, he's no longer with us because he himself was a victim of AIDS. And he predicted the exact figures for this day, you know, for this particular year in the first decade of the 21st century. And this is just, in my, this is a cautionary tale. It's a warning to people to, for God's sake, use pity and not pity, but knowledge instead of ignorance and hatred and bigotry. And, you know, not allow our baser instincts to rule us, because if we do, we don't have a chance of surviving as a species, really.
Right.
And that is what is so important. I mean, I heard you talk about what happened downtown at the Hayes the other night.
Yeah.
I mean, those people weren't bothering anybody.
No, it was one of the most well-behaved bars in Raleigh County, as far as I understand.
Somebody went in there with, what, fire extinguishers and all kinds of stuff like that?
Poured liquor all over the floor. I guess they stole money, you know.
Yeah, stole the money out of the pool tables. It was announced on WBNR by Ward Ellison, but any Warren Ellison, or whatever his name is, but... You know, why do people do stuff like that? I mean, I have...
Hate, Jim. Hate. It is a hate crime.
And I am so glad that I do not have that. I do not have the capacity in my heart to do that.
No, you don't. I don't sense a lot of hate coming out of you.
But I think of Matthew Shepard, and I think of so many other people.